The police say people were evacuated just in time, moments before a car bomb exploded outside a courthouse in Londonderry at the weekend. It's believed police were just leaving the area when it went off. It's being linked to a group calling itself the New IRA, and four people have been arrested. The Assistant Chief Constable is Mark Hamilton. Mark, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. When did you hear about this? What type of warning was given?
So, this bomb was abandoned at 23 minutes past 7 in Bishop Street. At 26 minutes past 7, a phone call was received at the Samaritans in West Midlands, who then phoned the West Midlands Police, who got a call to us, and it came to us around about 1940, about 10 minutes later. So, in the interim, the CCTV in Belfast, in Derry, I beg your pardon, and also a local police patrols had spotted the vehicle and were starting to take action because they thought it was a suspect device. And that was then confirmed when West Midlands Police told us that a call had come in saying that there was a car bomb there and it was due to go off in 30 minutes.
How big was the bomb?
Well, the actual size at the minute, Stephen, I haven't seen the report. The bomb disposal people finished yesterday. They'll compile a full report today and tomorrow, and then we'll get that. As you can see from yourself from the footage that we released, Stephen, the bomb was sufficiently big to rip the car apart and to throw pieces of the car everywhere. There's shrapnel hitting police Land Rover and so forth. Not so big that it caused damage to the buildings around it, but sufficiently big, and with a sufficiently big fireball, that if you've been standing anywhere near it, then you could see yourself, Stephen, you could have been killed or very seriously injured.
And the people who have done this, are you at a stage that you're linking them to any specific group?
Yes, so we're linking them to the new, what's known as the New IRA.
Who's that?
Grouping in Derry. So that's a grouping that evolved over recent years. It has its origins in the real IRA. We know that they have groupings in Derry and also in Belfast and some other parts of Northern Ireland. We would associate them in the past with, if you remember, Stephen, the shooting of a police officer in the Crumlin Road two Januaries ago,
yeah.
And also the murder of prison officer Adrian Ismay, and then as far back then as the murder of David Black. So that would be the grouping that we would that forms our primary line of inquiry.
So this is dissident Republicans?
Violent dissident Republicans, unequivocally, in our view.
And how, can you give us a sense, if you know, Mark, about how big this New IRA paramilitary group is? Are we talking about a handful of people?
Yeah, I mean, there are a number of small groupings in Northern Ireland, and we would describe them, you know, sort of in the dozens. And they are not large groups of terrorists. They don't have widespread community support. They don't have widespread political support. They are largely unrepresentative in the areas from which they hail. But they try to exert, like we've seen so many times in the past, exert intimidation over communities by acts such as this and other acts. But they're not a big grouping. But unfortunately, you know, we have to recognise that they are dangerous. They have the capacity to take life and they have the capacity to harm people.
And they've got a capacity to build a bomb. And
yeah.
I heard the bomb being described as a crude device. And over all of the years, I've never actually questioned what that is. So does a crude device mean that they don't have much capability and basically with a little bit of knowledge, anybody can do it? Or is there a degree of sophistication around this?
Well, in technical terms, it's known as a vehicle-borne improvised explosive device, a VBIED. The main word there is improvised, so they're trying to put things together to make an explosion go off. And those things, by their nature, are crude. They lack sophistication, and they're variable as to the degree of success that they have with them. They're also variable as to their safety. And, well, no bomb is safe. Let's not pretend that calling bomb warnings in or doing anything else puts a community at less risk. And we've seen through our past, Stephen, these things go horribly, horribly wrong for communities. Right for terrorists to kill people, but wrong for communities and the people get murdered and maimed. So, you know, these are not made by, you know, sophisticated explosives experts. They are unstable by their nature. They're highly reckless because, you know, who would build a bomb in a community, put it in a car in a community, drive it through past people's homes, drive it into a commercial area, then run away, and we've seen them running away, and then leave then the local community and the local police to deal with the mess. So, you know, our police officers are running toward it to help people. Across the road, directly across the road, are 150 people at a charity quiz night. We had to get those people out. We had to use bolt cutters to cut padlocks off to get people up onto the city walls to get them safe. People socialising in bars and hotels, enjoying themselves, and they're left to deal with this. And that's the reality of what these people are doing in the community and what they tried to do to intimidate the people of Derry on Saturday night. And it was a direct attack upon the people of Derry.
And the blame is on them, these wasters who do this. The blame is not on the PSNI. There is a question, though, Mark Hamilton, for you as Assistant Chief Constable, which is, are you worried about the intelligence capability within the police that this got through without you knowing about it? And should that give your organisation cause for concern?
Well, Stephen, when you're dealing with criminals and you're trying to prevent crime, you can never be 100% at it. Every day in Northern Ireland, we have people acting and working directly against these groups.
Did you have any heads up that a bomb was imminent? You might not have known the time or place. No, did you have any intelligence?
Well, we've known that the risk level in Derry has been quite high since before Christmas. So we were worried about attacks in Derry and in a couple of other parts of Northern Ireland. And certainly Derry has been, for us, one of the higher areas, certainly the higher risk area at the minute.
Where's the other parts of Northern Ireland you're worried about?
Well, I mean, you'll know as well, Stephen, that we recovered an improvised weapon in West Belfast just before Christmas as well. So we have concerns there and in other parts of the country. But mainly Derry and Belfast are the areas of the highest levels of concern for us at the minute.
And in terms of the intelligence?
Well, nothing's going to be perfect. You know, the history of all of these issues around the world is that sometimes attacks get through. And you know, we try to prevent as many as we can, and we're more successful in preventing attacks than attacks getting through. So it's disappointing for us this one got through. We are pleased and happy that not that they managed anything, but that nobody got hurt. But now, obviously, now that it has got through, then there's a massive effort now turning towards trying to detect them and get them brought before the courts.
And final question, Mark. What is your intelligence telling you about this group of people? Are they intent at trying to plant as many bombs as possible? Do you think the bombing campaign will be sporadic? Or what are you hearing? Do you know?
We're not seeing it in terms of a bombing campaign, Stephen. We know that their intent reaches the threat level of severe, which means attacks are highly likely. It's been like that since 2009. That hasn't changed for the last 10 years.
Sure, but the question is, do you think these will be once or twice a year, or do you think there will be some type of sustained campaign from these people?
I do not believe that this will be a sustained campaign as you would describe it, or as we would have been used to in the past. But I do believe that they are firmly intent upon taking lives where they can and when they can.
Have you any thing to tell the public about a description of this person who ran away?
No, we haven't got that at the minute, and hopefully we'll get more information in the next couple of days, certainly as we try and work through the photographs. But, you know, this car moved up through Derry. It was hijacked in Quarry Street, ended up on Bishop Street. If anybody passed the vehicle, and it was a silver Ford Fusion, WCZ 2167, if you have any dash cam, if you saw the car being abandoned, if you saw the car moving, if you saw the hijacking of the vehicle in Quarry Street, then give us a call. Either ring 101 and ask for detectives, or if you don't want to do that, ring the Crime Stoppers number. It's purely confidential, and let us know what you know.
Appreciate you coming on, Mark. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you. The SDLP leader, Colm Eastwood, listening to that this morning. You know, Colm, I'm only back into the country, back from holiday. I think, you know, when I'm outside of Northern Ireland and I see this happening, it jars even more with me that there never was any sense to this. And here you see this completely futile attempt to injure and kill people, Colm.
Yeah, it's, you know, reckless, dangerous and pointless, and just like it always was. I mean, I just don't understand how we had 30 years of this stuff and people still haven't realised that it didn't make any difference other than destroy people's lives, and some people are determined to keep doing that. But you know, saying all weekend, they have they've set themselves up in opposition to the British state, but they're actually in opposition to the Irish people, because the Irish people, time and time again, have stated very, very clearly that they support peace and they support democracy. And I just don't understand why these people think that they have some kind of logic or God-given right to create mayhem on our streets. But they need to understand, I mean, if they're against the Irish people, they can't win. It's just impossible for them to win. And we're not going to let them win. And the people of Kerry and the people of Ireland, right across, will continue to do what we're doing and trying to build a better future, as difficult as that is, for all sorts of reasons.
And we will hear hear condemnation from a whole range of politicians this morning, including the Alliance Party leader, Naomi Long. The condemnation, Naomi, it will be consistent, and people will use similar words to say how depraved this act was. But what more can we do rather than condemn these people?
I think that's the first thing, and I think the point that Colin makes is an important one, that these people are there, they are doing huge damage to the city that they live in. They clearly have no respect for the people of Derry, they clearly have no respect for the people in this island or anywhere else. They have no respect for life, and that needs to be stressed, because anyone who has any sympathy towards this group needs to realise that they are offering absolutely nothing for the future other than more misery. And I think we need to continue to say that. How do we stop it? Well, only, I think, by cooperating fully with the police when they're investigating this and bringing those behind it to justice, because there are no alternatives. There are no alternatives to peaceful resolution of our difficulties here, and there are no alternatives to cooperating with the police to make sure that those behind it are brought to justice. And I think that all of us who are involved in politics here, who want to build a better future, would agree that that's the only way forward.
Do you think, Naomi, people should be concerned at all with the general mood in Northern Ireland, that there might be a new generation of young people, because of the divisiveness of our politics, that might be tempted to go back into paramilitary groups again? Or are those days definitely over? Or should we not be complacent?
Well, look, I don't think we should ever be complacent. I have said many times that I think that our peace is a very fragile thing, that it requires care and attention, and that at times we have been quite reckless with our peace here, and we have taken it for granted, and we shouldn't do that. So I don't think we can afford at this point in time ever to be reckless with our peace. But I think that those who are behind this are unmoved by what happens politically. They're unmoved by what is going on. If they see an opportunity, of course they will exploit it. But I don't think that they're directed in any shape or form by what people are doing in other parts of society. They are completely hell-bent on continuing a war that stopped after 30 years and went nowhere, and they are continuing to pursue that. And I think it's just utterly destructive. I think it's utterly pointless and it's utterly wrong. So, I mean, I wouldn't be complacent in any shape or form about the Troubles, but I think that there are enough of us who lived through that. There are enough of us who have lived memory of that and who remember just how grim a place it was during those days, and who have had the pleasure of seeing cities like my own here in Belfast, like Derry, regenerate and change, become open, welcoming, you know, people, tourists coming back into those places. And none of us want to see it go back to that again. So I think in terms of the commitment that we have, that's unshaken. But we just need to ensure that we don't create a vacuum which could be filled by violence, and that we don't raise tensions that could give these people an excuse to exploit those situations, because I think ultimately that's what they're about.
The Sinn Féin MLA for Foyle is Raymond McCartney. Raymond, what would you say to the people who feel that they can get attention and they can get some type of movement if they bomb their way to it?
Well, I think, first of all, and I think we have seen that from Saturday night, is that we speak with a collective voice and tell these people to stop, and tell them that what they are doing has absolutely no impact on the political or peace process, that everybody involved in that is focused on what we should be doing, and all that they're doing is bringing harm and misery to the people of this city and elsewhere when they carry out these actions.
Reuben, do you think there is a... Look, and I want to be very careful here. I am by no means making any excuse for the people who did this. They are absolute wasters, and I'm not linking it to anything beyond, my goodness, it must take a certain degree of, a certain level of depravity to know that young people, and indeed any age of person, will be walking past a bomb which may blow up and blow their bodies up. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I guess what I'm trying to explore this morning, Raymond, is there a danger in our politics in Northern Ireland that, divisive as it is, that some type of next generation might be tempted into this? And how do we stop that happening if it even is remotely on the cards?
Well, I'll make two comments about that. I think the first one has to be that what we have to do, and I think we've seen this in Derry over a long number of years, that the people have a very clear vision, and there are many issues which need to be addressed in relation to Derry and indeed the wider Northwest. But I think, and although the other night was a very dangerous incident, I don't want to minimise that. There could have been a serious harm brought to people, particularly those children who walk by the car. But we have to remember that these groups are small. They lack support. It's very, very noticeable over the weekend that not one single person, not one sort of person who in the past perhaps has acted as some sort of type of political spokesperson for them, has come forward to provide a rationale. I think the city, right from the moment that bomb exploded, and I was out and about yesterday speaking to people, my colleague Karen Mullen visited Alexander House, which is an old people's home, and the people there, startled, frightened as they were, but were very, very focused and saying a very, very clear message, not in our name. And I think that's the way we should go forward. And Derry has, in recent times, particularly in terms of tourism and the night economy, as it's called, has been very vibrant. And I think the people who are involved in that industry have spoken with a very clear voice as well. So this is right across the board. I heard Reverend Ken Goodall on this morning, political civic, the city centre manager, Jim Roddy, everybody speaking with one voice in a single word saying stop, but also saying that we're determined to fish these people down and ensure that Derry will continue to go.
And to the DUP MLA, I want to talk to some of the other political representatives about Brexit in a moment or two, but the DUP MLA for Foyle is Gary Middleton. I guess this reminds us, Gary, more than ever before, about how it would be good to find some type of consensus in politics in Northern Ireland, for there to be a sense of hope and togetherness in Northern Ireland.
I think what we've seen, particularly over the past 24 hours, is the unity of purpose from right across the political, civic and religious leadership. I think that if the message hasn't gone to those people who carried out the attack on Saturday night, then the message will never go to them. These people clearly don't want to listen to us, but what we need to do is ensure that all of us continue to speak out against these attacks. They've always been wrong, whether it be 40, 30 or indeed 10 years ago. And the onus is on all of us, yes, try and find a way forward through what is a difficult political time. But we can't allow that also to be the excuse or also the reason.
Yeah. And it's not an excuse and it's not a reason, and I hear you, and there is condemnation across the board this morning. But the reality is the talk that we currently have in Northern Ireland is about the prospects or not of a hard border, about the reality or not about how we're going to trade with the South and so forth. Is this not a reminder to politicians in Northern Ireland as to how important it is to find some type of unity in Northern Ireland, some type of purpose, some type of agreement?
Well, it should be a reminder to those who carried out the violence on Saturday night that violence will not achieve anything. Whether it be a hard border, a soft border, no border, violence will not further any cause, and that's a message that we need to send out, but we can't do. And there have been some who have tried to link what happened on Saturday, I'm not suggesting you're doing this, but there have been some who have tried to link what happened on Saturday night with, for example, the decision to leave the European Union. I think that's a ridiculous argument, but we have to be mindful that the decision to leave the European Union is sensitive right across our communities. We understand that, and that brings me on to the point that we need to ensure that the language that we use, you know, this idea of perhaps this idea of, you know, that the British government have no place here in Northern Ireland, that type of language unfortunately does heighten tension within our communities. So there's onus on all of us across all parties to ensure that we might be mindful of that.
Derek Hussey from the Ulster Unionist Party, you're the Deputy Mayor of Derry/Londonderry. Derek, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. And you heard the police say there that they've been worried about Derry for quite a while now.
There has been considerable concern within the northwest area generally as to so-called dissident activity within the area. And indeed, you know, through the summer, we've seen this attempt to up the ante, shall we say, with attacks on the Fountain area, and indeed police being drawn into the area and shots being fired. But, you know, what happened on Saturday evening is an absolute disgrace with no justification. It's merely an attack on fellow citizens, the hard-pressed economy of our area, and indeed, think of the impression that gives to the visitors coming to our area. The city of Londonderry and the area generally is one that is in resurgence, and that does not suit the cause or so-called cause of some people.